I really feel God is wanting to set us free. And I just got this picture of, you know, when the Spirit of God is picking us up, then we're like eagles, then we're flying. And that's what God wants. He wants us to step out of this earthly realm into the spirit realm. And that is liberty. And that's why when we sing like we do and we're just sort of flowing, it's in a sense we're moving deeper into the presence of God. We want to break through. It's like jumping off a cliff and then like an eagle just flying. So I'm trusting that we are going to go there, just flying like eagles. Okay. 2 Samuel 6. I shared this morning. I said it was told King David. I shared the different ways of bringing back the glory of God. There's man's way and there's God's way. Man's way will always cause somebody to get hurt. It's flesh. God's way is the right way. Then the presence of God comes. Now it says that in that scripture, in verse 13, and so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. And it says, then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. So it was extravagant worship. Spoke about this. The heart of David is to bring back the glory. The heart of David is to bring the presence of God. The heart of David is about God's glory. The heart of David is to worship God, not worship self. And so everybody, the whole of Israel, or at least 30,000 plus people, they brought the glory back together. Together. And as I shared this morning, if we want the presence of God in church and in our lives, we need to aim for that together. Okay, it's something we have to do together. If a large percentage of the church gets it, if a large percentage of us gets into true praise, then the presence of God will come. But everyone was shouting. The sounds of trumpets were blasting. And they were proclaiming, preparing the way for the great God, the Lord over all the whole earth. And so they were proclaiming, he is coming, he is worthy, he is coming, he is worthy. And that's where we need to trust the Lord. We're going to get on that same page. Okay, the next scripture there, 2 Samuel 6, verse 16. It says, and now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. Verse 16. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Okay, so to look at that for a moment. It says leaping and whirling before the Lord. And he was going wild. Okay, so let's everybody stand quickly. Leaping. I'm not going to look like a fool myself. We're going to leap. 1, 2, 3, leap. It's jumping. Okay, we're going to do that again. 1, 2, 3, leap. Okay, now we're going to whirl. 1, 2, 3, whirl. Okay, other side, whirl. 1, 2, 3. Okay, now do that for a few kilometers. Okay, you can sit again, thank you. We're going to do that in a moment. Leaping and whirling before the Lord. This was not Mandela dancing.
okay? This wasn't holding back. This was with his whole might, with his whole strength, he danced before God. In the previous scripture, it said that with all his might. Now imagine that, with all your strength, with everything within him, he danced before God. And you want to think, why? What is the idea? Why did he do that? Because David had a revelation about a few things. King David, he realized that for God, it was more than just the sacrifices. It was more than all the big stuff. God was looking for something specific for him. God wanted David. And I believe that's what David was doing. He was dancing with all his might. He was declaring, he was proclaiming, God, I love you so much that I'm going to dance like a fool. I love you so much that I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. I love you so much that I'm going to bring a holy offering to you. My whole being, my everything, from my heart right through to my whole being. I am going to worship you. He was saying, God, I so long for your presence. Let your glory come. He was saying, I'm willing to look like a fool if that is going to honor you. If that's going to honor you, I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter. You see, but we don't think like it. We don't live like it. We come to church or wherever, and we're more focused upon the people than we are on what God is. We are more focused on what people think about us than what God thinks about us. King Saul was a man, he was obsessed with what people thought. King David was obsessed with what did God think about him. And that's where we need to trust God. We need to come to that place where it's all about what does God say about me. Am I blessing him? Am my heart, is it blessing him? And in 2 Samuel 6, verse 20, it says, then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. So they say, you're a fool, David. Everybody's going to mock you now. And the amazing thing is that Michal was the daughter of King Saul. So she came from that paradigm. What was the paradigm? That paradigm was dignity and the fear of man. That was the paradigm. That's how she grew up. That's what her daddy taught her. It's all about what the people say, Michal. It's all about looking good. It's all about putting your best foot forward. It's putting up your best mask, your smiley mask for the day. That's what the people want. We should give it. But David said, no. It's not about the dignity. It's not about what people thought about him or things about him. It's not about being dignified. David was different. David feared God more than man. And oh, how we struggle to do that. All of us. We all are worried about what are the people going to say. Or we come to church on a Sunday and let's say we really go for it. We really praise God and you completely forget about people. I mean, it will probably look like it will be an interesting sight for a visitor. And so what? That's where we need to get to. But we're so afraid if there's a visitor, oh, what are they going to think? They're going to think we're freaky. We are. Yeah, so just get the label on and go for it. We're freaky. We are different. That's what the scriptures say. We are set apart. We are not of this earth. We are of heaven. We are just coming through. So let's be different. Let's stop trying to blend with the world. Let's trying to be dignified. I'd rather have God's presence without dignity than be dignified alone, doing my own thing. David feared God, not man. David feared God, not man. David feared God, not man. Verse 21. And I believe that the fear that David had for God, it opened the door for fellowship with God. If we would reverence God and Him alone. God, it only matters what you say. It only matters what you think. And so David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. That's interesting, but it was before the Lord. Can you say that? Before the Lord. So David was saying to Michal, you thinking about what the people are saying, but I wasn't dancing before them. They might have seen me, yes, but I was dancing before the Lord. I was worshiping God. I was in another place. I didn't even realize anything about the people. I was flying. I was soaring on the power of God's Spirit. That's what we need to trust the Lord for. That we'll step out of this realm into a glorious place. We're just flying. Just drawing near to the living God. And so he said there, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, say therefore, I will play music before the Lord. So he's saying, Michal, I am dancing before God because of thanksgiving. I'm so astounded of what God has done in my life. Michal, I still remember being the little boy with a few sheepies. I remember being a nobody. I remember being looked down upon. I remember being mocked. I remember being the little nobody. I remember. And I know that where I am today, it is the grace of God. And I'm so thankful. Look at this. Wow. Whole of Israel, I've been appointed to shepherd. Michal, do you realize? I'm so thankful. I want to dance. I am so thankful. I'm coming to bring an offering of myself because of what God has done in my life. Remember what God has done in your life. Be reminded. If we come with thanksgiving, that's going to shift something in our hearts. And you're just going to be astounded. He chose me. That's what David said. He chose me. And because of that, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to bless His name. And then it says there, in verse 22, he says, I will be even more undignified than this. Michal, I'm just warming up. You think that was bad? Look at what's coming. I am just warming. I will be even more undignified than this, and I will be humble in my own sight because I will know how small I am, but how massive my God is. I'm a nobody. You see me as king. I see myself as small. So I can be undignified. And so David, as he was dancing, as he was twirling before God, he was saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me opportunity. Thank you for giving me the privilege of blessing and serving all of Israel. Lord, thank you. I deserve nothing of this. The least I can do is to look like a fool before you as I offer my life to you. Dancing before God or extravagant thanksgiving or extravagant worship is bringing an offering. It's bringing a holy offering. It's bringing an offering of yourself. Because the fear of man falls away. And it's just you and God. Then you can bring an offering. But if we're so afraid to be undignified, if we're so afraid to just let it go, then there's like this barrier between you and God. It's called the fear of man. But if we remove that barrier, then we can come to the altar. You see, there's an altar where we come and we lay down our lives upon the altar. That's what God wants. I will be humble in my own sight. A sacrifice of self. Can you say that? Sacrifice of self. In the Old Testament, there was sacrifices of multitudes of animals. It was to cover sins, but there was also other offerings. Peace offerings. Thanksgiving offerings. And that hasn't changed. The blood of Christ covers us so we can now come by the blood. But there's something we need to be. You cannot come empty-handed to God. None of us can. And it's not bringing a song. It's bringing self. It's not singing a nice song. It's bringing your heart and laying it down. And sometimes it takes a little bit of your getting out of your dignity to truly give yourself to God. Exodus 34 verse 20. It says there, "And none shall appear before me empty-handed." And none shall appear before me empty-handed. We come by the blood of Christ. And then we bring an offering of self. God wants you. I think that's why I loved King David. Because he had him. David was so passionate. So passionate about God. He truly did give himself to God. That's what he did. He brought an offering of self. Go read the Psalms. It was a bringing of self. There was nothing held back. So Psalm 51 verse 16 to 17 it says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." God is looking for brokenness, a humility, and a passion about what is His, where is His heart at. And I believe God is waiting for us that a compassion would grip our hearts. As we spoke about this morning, King Saul was worshiping self. King David was a worshiper of God. And so we need to pray and say, "God, give us your heart for the lost. Give us a heart for those who are in darkness. Lord, give us a heart for one another who are struggling with so many things. Lord, give us a heart. When we come to you, God, may we come with such brokenness. Because you and I realize, Lord, if I would just surrender my life to you, I would be like one of those priests that would bring the presence of God into this world. If we come with brokenness, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, bless the person next to me. Lord, bless them. God, bless the person sitting on my other side, Lord. Bless them. God, may your presence just come and change. Set free. It's just a switch. Complete surrender. When we dance before the Lord, I believe it's a complete surrender. The walls come down. Just thinking about dancing, husband and wife dancing together. If you were the wife, then you, in a sense, it is a giving over. If you are the lady and the husband comes and he guides you, he takes you. One of the most beautiful things, I believe, that dancing, in that sense, romantic dancing between husband and a wife. And I believe it's the same with the Lord. There's a part of dancing where it's just you and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit is just leading you. Just taking you deeper and deeper to a place of freedom, a place of liberty, a place where you are set free. But you need to surrender yourself. A sacrifice of self. And when we're praying this afternoon, the last session this morning, we're in the groups. It was just amazing to me again. We have so many masks holding up. They must come down. Bring a sacrifice of self. And I believe there's this word that we received as well end of last year in our pastor summit. The word was dance like David did. It's not about the dancing, it's about the heart. It's not about the external, it's about the heart that manifested in an external way. When there are loads of people and you are the king and you say, whatever, I'm going to praise my God. I'm going to bless him today. I'm going to bring a sacrifice of self, a sacrifice of self. It speaks of a childlike passion and love for God that transcends dignity. It speaks of a passion and a love for God that transcends dignity. It's a breaking through. And something shifts in the spirit realm when we dance. It is so powerful when we dance boldly, when we dance for our Savior. It takes out the fear of man and it leads us into the fear of God. A sacrifice of self. That is the power in extravagant worship. So we're going to do a practical year tonight. I'm sure you expected it. And I really feel God is saying He wants to set us free. But there's another part. There's romantic dancing. And then there's warfare dancing. Romans 16, 19 says. You probably know that word. Be innocent. There's somebody that's done that before. I can't remember that anymore. I just know. Romans 16, 19 says. Good. Evil. Okay, the scripture says, Corin, what are you doing? Habitat, was too. The battery is not plugged in. Romans 16, 19, it says, for your obedience has become known to all, therefore I'm glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's say that. And the God of peace will crush Satan under my feet shortly. Okay, but you have to lift up your feet. Okay, let's try that again. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet, under my feet shortly. Okay, so that's where the dancing bit's going to come in. You need to lift up your feet. Okay, we're going to practice that in a moment. As we dance joyously, joyfully before God, there's a shift in the spirit that happens. I don't know how this works, but it just works. The power of God moves to crush Satan under our feet. We can dance upon our strongholds. We can dance upon our issues. We can dance upon every scheme of the enemy. And then Luke 10, verse 19. It says, behold, I give you the authority. Behold, I give you the authority to trample. Say trample. Trample. To trample on serpents and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Behold, I give you authority to trample. Say trample. Trample. On serpents and scorpions. Okay, somebody go get a serpent and a scorpion and they're going to trample on it. It speaks of spirits, it speaks of demons, it speaks of strongholds, it speaks of principalities. There is spiritual power. And we have the authority to trample on them under our feet. King David reigned over a mighty empire. Why? Yeah, that's true. I believe because he was a worshiper. It was like he accessed the authority and the grace and the power of God as he danced, as he worshiped God. So we're going to do that this evening. The worship guys, you guys can come up.